May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Do you remember the broadcaster Ted Turner? Remember him? He started CNN, TBS. He was quite a big figure in broadcasting. Over 20 years ago, he made a quote that shocked the world, really. He said this: Christianity is for losers. Christianity is for losers. Today's scripture, from a worldly point of view, might support his claim. I mean, true Christians do have characteristics that the world disdains. That sounds like they're losers. From a godly point of view, of course, it's totally not so. From a godly point of view, Christians are winners. Our text for today comes from what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Certainly, we don't have all that Jesus taught, but what we have in Matthew 5-7 is enough to change our lives. There would be volumes of Jesus' teaching if it was all written down. These verses that we have here in Matthew 5-7, especially in what we're talking about today, are called the Beatitudes. I don't know, when you first read these statements of blessings, they might be kind of confusing to you. I mean, we're blessed to have all these problems. There are 8 statements that describe a Christian who is blessed by God, but the word blessed should not be confused with the word happy. It speaks, the word blessed speaks of a continual joy we can have despite experiencing horrible circumstances and correspondingly great unhappiness. And of course the world says this is nonsense. You're fooling yourself. They would use the word happy, and their beatitudes would go something like this. Number one, happy are the proud, because they can have it all. Number two, happy are those who are pitiless, because most don't deserve our mercy. Number three, happy are those who are dominant, who will not submit to anyone, but stand on their own strength. Four, happy are those who hunger and thirst for money and power, for they will be satisfied. Money equals happiness. More money equals more happiness. Number five, happy are those who rejoice in their self-willed lives and refuse to be taken advantage of. Number six, happy are the clever, and yes, even devious, for they will get away with it. They'll get their way. Number seven, happier are you when you stir the pot and let people fight it out among themselves and you enjoy the drama. Happy are those people who are called great and praise you to your face. Happy are you. What I just described is a person untouched by Jesus Christ. Untouched. This is the natural man, this is the natural woman who puts themselves first and who looks to their own interests. They love themselves first and foremost. When Jesus comes into your life, things radically change on the inside, in our hearts. The Bible tells us that faith comes from hearing the word of God. That the Holy Spirit uses the word to bring us to Jesus. It's very clear. And yet there's a lot of mystery here. But I've seen this transformation in people's lives. I said changed, but not sinless. I wouldn't even say good. But their hearts and minds are different. They believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and made them a child of God. And it changed their philosophy of life, as it were. Let's go back to that not particularly good. I'll never forget, and I brought her up often, this woman I had in my confirmation, adult inquiry class, as I call it, in Alabama. She came into the class, and she was rough, really rough. She blurted out one of the first times one of the first classes, she said, well, what the F does that mean? But she continued the word, right? Other members of the class wanted her to be dismissed, but something happened in that lady. If you would see her today, she's still a little rough hewn, but she watches her language, and she believes in Christ, and you can see that she's had an authentic experience with Jesus. Her good will have to catch up with the transformation that she's experiencing. I want to go through these Beatitudes as they characterize us and bless us. Some point to our life right now. Some point to what will be in the future. But let's go through them. Number one, blessed are the poor in spirit. When one truly understands the Word of God and the gospel, we see the true state of our lives, the true state of our lives, and we are poor. We're poor. We recognize our complete spiritual helplessness. We can't save ourselves. We can't change ourselves. Without Christ, we're headed for damnation. It's clear in the scriptures that there will be such a thing. But our Savior has come, and we can put our full trust in Him, and we are blessed. We're blessed. Number two, blessed are those who mourn. I know what this means. I grieve, bemoan, and deplore my sins. I berate myself about them. But I am comforted by the forgiveness of sins that I receive from Jesus Christ. Secondly, I also grieve for the troubles that I have in this world and for the loss that I have. I am troubled by that, but I am reminded what the scriptures tell me, and I am comforted. These are momentary sufferings, not even able in the least to compare to what awaits us in heaven. We are blessed. We are blessed. Number three, blessed are the meek. Moses was said to be the meekest man on all the earth. Does that mean he was weak? Does that mean he was a doormat? Absolutely not. Moses was very strong, but he was also very humble. What a combination. He knew that his strength came from the Lord. We're blessed. We're blessed. Number four, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. This describes a lot of you. You refused to not come to church. Is that double negative? You're going to be here in church. You're going to confess your sins. You're going to hear the gospel and apply it to yourself, that you've been granted grace. You hunger and thirst for the Lord's Supper and for what it means to your life. And you want more than anything to be right with God. We are blessed. We're blessed. Number five, blessed are the merciful. The true Christian knows that he or she must be a forgiver. Because we have been forgiven much by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. In Christ, now we want to. We have also eyes to open to see the hurting people in the world. And where once we would walk on by or not think about it or not give, now we do. Now we want to. We want to make a difference. We are blessed. Number six, blessed are the pure in heart. People touched by Jesus decry the hypocrisy they see in their own lives. They decry it. They desire to have their thoughts and feelings match their actions. They want to be authentic Christians. They want to have integrity. And what that means is they want to be the same person when nobody's looking, when everybody is looking. And we are blessed. Number seven, blessed are the peacemakers. We want to see families reunited, peace between husband and wife, peace between parents and children, peace between workers and co-workers, between church members and fellow church members. We want to be agents of peace. And we are blessed. And eight, blessed are those who are persecuted. True believers envision themselves as always being faithful, finishing the race, never deserting their faith in Christ. They envision this. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Those words echo in our hearts and minds from Revelation chapter 2. We are blessed. We are blessed. I know that when you hear these Beatitudes, you're thinking, how far away I am from these qualities, or at least some of them. And I would agree, a lot of you are far away from them. So am I. But please remember, we're saved by grace, and grace alone. Grace alone. These traits are but a result of our relationship with Jesus. They are fruit that come out into us. And we take on these traits. The Holy Spirit works these blessings in us and gives us desire to perfect them, which of course this side of heaven will never be complete. We will never get there. But we're saved by grace. So I ask myself, what is the challenge of hearing these besides them being kind of puzzling to us sometimes? What's the challenge we face in a world increasingly opposed to our values? I think the challenge is just this. We are to be convicted and strive to inhabit these values. Convicted. What does convicted mean? To be kind of shot out that we won't turn our back on any of these things. We're convicted. We believe them. Here, here, here. We're convicted. So here's what I think we should be convicted of. And I think you are, a lot of you. Be convicted that you need Jesus more than anything. Be convicted that when you seek forgiveness, you shall have it in the name of Jesus. Don't be doubting it. When you come to communion and it's for the forgiveness of your sins, say, no, I still got sin on me. No, you're forgiven. Be convicted of that. Number three, be convicted you were meant to be strong in your humble reliance on Jesus Christ, not fearful. I want to speak to men today. Men, you are supposed to be strong. Women, you have an equal status with us and men, but we have a different duty. Men, you are to bring your family to Christ. You are to do that. And if you're not doing that, you're not pleasing to the Lord. Right? You're not the ones to say, I don't want to go to church today. You're the ones to say, we're going. Will you come with me? Why? You'd be treat her nice. She might be sick. Might be sick of you, you know. We live in a real world, right? But men, be strong. Be strong. Don't fear being out in front with your faith in Jesus Christ. I always remember my cohort in Alabama, and he would wear these shirts when he came to Christ, he got convicted. He would have a full t-shirt with Jesus on the cross. He did this for you, you know. I mean, he was right out front. And I loved it, knowing where he'd come from. Be convicted that you will worship the Lord. You will repent of your sins. You will pray and faithfully take communion and serve the Lord in significant and perhaps sacrificial ways. Number five, be convicted that you will be a forgiver and that you will have compassion for hurting people. In your previous life, you might have walked by, you might have never given anything to charity, you might have said, it's not my deal, I'm not going to be involved in that. As a Christian, you can't do that. If you're blessed, you're going to be a blessing to other people. Be convicted to strive and have a thought life that honors Jesus. We have a battle going on in here. It's all the time. It's a battle. We want to honor Jesus in our thinking. We're blessed to be able to do that. Be convicted that you will be a force for God for good, not causing sinful division. You will not be known for quarreling or gossip. You will not be known for those things because we are blessed. We are blessed. And then be convicted that come what may, you will stand for Jesus Christ and not compromise your faith in him. That's why I liked we sing Shout to the Lord. There's that verse that says, forever I'll stand. Amen. That's being blessed by the Lord. We can stand for Jesus Christ because he's done everything for us. It's time we become what we were meant to be. We need this in our own life. But think about this. The world needs us to be that way too. The world is going this way and that way. They think happiness is the goal. We know it's the blessing of God. My friends, there's coming a day when your faithfulness to Jesus Christ will be richly rewarded. But even now we have joy of being children of God. So let us give thanks to the Lord, for we are